Hello, welcome to the Derm Health Co podcast. I'm Marnie, your host, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Jennifer Hill, author and digital transformation expert, founder of Shizhen Consulting, and the creator of the ATFUI method, which stands for Amaze the F Out of Yourself. We are going to be going into the depths. Now, bear with me. It's not our traditional episode kind of title. We're usually talking about skin conditions and being in the treatment room. However, today is a really, really important episode. Not only do I get super excited around goal setting and making progress in business, I also see that it's a massive struggle for many people, not just in business life, but personal life as well. With our very, very busy lives, with the ads and endless to-do lists, it can be really hard to actually choose what it is that you want to achieve, how to do it, and how to actually do it in a timeframe that isn't completely overwhelming. Jen brings this knowledge that she has from her extensive background in project management within tech startups and corporate environments to the table. So she's going to be delving into these common pitfalls of goal setting for small business owners, and then introduces this unique and really simple ATFUI framework. She's going to emphasize how it diverges from these traditional methods to offer a more effective path towards achieving remarkable outcomes. Remarkable outcomes including things like her writing a book in 14 weeks and publishing it, and going from couch to bikini competition in the same amount of time, and how you, me, and anyone that has a desire to do so can do so, whether it be a business goal or one that you are setting in your personal life. So she is going to be tying these strategies back to the aesthetics industry, providing actionable examples for business owners to achieve these exceptional results, and how you can engage your team effectively, cultivate the right mindset for success. We're going to be talking about discipline versus dedication, the role of personal development, and practical steps business owners can take today. All on the agenda, okay? Big one. So I started by asking Jen what she thought was the biggest misconception around goal setting.
I think this is a really good question. I had to think about this for a while, and I actually think it's around the shoulds that we do to ourselves. I think the first one is that we think we should be able to set and achieve goals on our own, and that this approach should make us successful. And I think actually that is the biggest misconception.
Yes. I mean, this is kind of off topic, but as you're saying that, I just had this realization that I have set a lot of my goals based on things around intelligence, thinking that intelligence and doing intelligent things is going to make me successful, only to realize that that's a false belief. So yeah, all these shoulds, but they might not even equate to anything that we want.
Exactly. Yeah. And the other misconception about goal setting is that it has to be something you're supposed to want, when in fact, the real things we want are the things we really, really want. They're the things that we don't say out loud. They're the things that we feel we're not allowed to want. Yeah. We think we're supposed to have this correct business goal, or this KPI, or, you know, our family's supposed to be proud of us. But in fact, what we really want could be something ultra personal.
We're going to get into that. So tell us more about you and where you've come from.
Well, it's interesting. Certainly you wouldn't have heard my name on the lips of famous people or read about me in magazines or anything. I actually am the only child of a melting pot of families, gay and straight. I think I consider myself to have about six parents from the furthest northeast coastal corner of the USA. I'm from the state of Maine. I call myself an actual real life maniac. It's quite an accurate description. And I tell people often that my family of origin is actually the most interesting thing about me.
Although I disagree, knowing you.
Well, they all came from pretty middle class, conventional, you know, WASPy families in New England, but their families all maintained a real love affair with the wildness of Maine. And so, as kind of young adults, I would say kind of 20s to 30s, my whole family really migrated themselves up to Maine in what real maniacs called transplants. So they were from away. Maine's a very touristy area. So my family has been involved in small business, hospitality, retail, self-employed the entire time I've known them. They've never had a real job. They've always made jobs. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
And then from your more recent professional career, you've kind of come from this background of project management. You've worked in tech startups with small business, corporate structures. Yeah. What have you learned from these experiences that you've applied to your personal life? Because it's completely different to where you've come from, of this, you know, traveling family that had all kind of creative endeavors.
Yeah, it is interesting. I really love technologists and I love tech companies. I don't think like a technologist. I'm not a technologist, but I love the way they think. And what I've really learned from the agile software development philosophy, and I will call it a philosophy, is that it's a methodology. So everything in project management, everything in agile software is a methodology. And all that really means is a big fancy word for a process. And so you follow the process. But the other really important thing is that procedures should be and do change and iterate. And again, iteration is just another fancy word for change. So we are constantly updating our methodologies and improving our methodologies. And while this is very much a business thing to do, that constant improvement CICD, it's also something we can do personally. It's something we can apply to our own lives. It's personal transformation is applying a methodology, seeing if it works, seeing if you get your results, and trying and trying and trying again. So that's what I've certainly taken away from my corporate experience, is that actually corporate and personal aren't that different.
Yeah, totally agree. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing more about how you've kind of brought this into your life. In regards to your observations about goal setting, now kind of linking them together, and then achieving things for small business owners, why isn't the old way of goal setting working, like the traditional methods? And look, people are still achieving a heap ton, but I think there's like this either disconnect, there's a stress factor, there's not knowing also what, like, are people hitting their glass ceiling? Like, how do you know what you can achieve? We were told when we were younger, you can achieve anything, but then we become an adult and that changes. And then all the processes that I've ever learned about goal setting kind of fallen on their head, really.
Yeah, I think there's a couple parts to this. One, I think that the really big culprit, you know, is this cult of personality. So our generation very specifically has been raised to believe that we can be whatever we want if we apply ourselves and get the right education and surround ourselves with the right people. It's very much a self-centered approach. It's not community oriented. It's, you know, we don't lean on each other to do that. It's very I, me. The thing about the Atfui approach that's really important that I really stumbled on by accident, because I was very much had that mindset for 40 odd years, you know, I have to do it myself. It's all about me. It's you know, autonomy is a very, very high in my value system. But the very first thing I realized is you have to get a CMA. And in my book, I call a CMA, it's an acronym for coach, mentor, or accountability partner. The really big thing we forget with goal setting is you don't do it in a vacuum. You're doing it in your community, your family of origin, in your work, right? And accountability, building in accountability to reach your goal, makes you so much more likely to be successful. And the other part of it is, one of the other steps is to link your goal to an external event that you can't change, negotiate, move, delay for any reason. So if you can't get to that linked event, or it doesn't happen, or you don't participate for whatever reason, you've missed it, right? It's a type of FOMO. So we're leveraging this idea of the fear of missing out to our advantage, to make us, to propel us to do something. And then finally, I really believe that you have to time box things, right? We put goals way, way, way into the future where it just feels ridiculously unobtainable how far away they are. you know, it's like looking at that far off mountain peak and going, I can never possibly walk there. But you actually can if you take it in stages and, you know, leveraging the idea of time boxing to get more out of your year, more out of your day. So it's those three steps really that I think we can keep our traditional goals, our traditional SMART goals as they are. But if we wrap this methodology around them, we're much more likely to achieve success.
It's those things that are missing that make it more tangible, because although SMART goals, you know, talk about something that's measurable, unless you're talking about weight loss or a financial number, how do you know what that measurement is? So yeah, we'll talk about the APFUI approach and how you came about this. But if you don't mind, I'd actually like to start with reading something from your book and for you to finish the line or kind of talk us, continue on. And we're going to talk about where it all started with APFUI. So I just love the opening prologue of your book, which is, are you ready? The air reeks of sweat. The stage is dangerously slick with oil, and the aroma of coconut is pervasive. The stage lights are blinding. Once again, my eyes attempt to adjust. So, Jen, tell us what you were doing on this stage. Why are the lights so blinding, and why does everything smell of coconut?
Well, anyone who's ever been on a beach will know that, you know, that fake tan smell, that coconut oil smell. So at the age of 52, after having lost a huge amount of weight and having been more fit and stronger than I had in a long time, I could feel myself slipping into older patterns, and I could just kind of see it. And I thought, if I'm going to avoid this trap of where I've been before and ending up where I just came from, I'm going to have to get a bigger why. And I'd always been fascinated by people who did bodybuilding and bikini competitions, firstly because I had no idea what it would actually entail, and second because it seemed like such a preposterous and quite frankly quite ridiculous undertaking, with no real, you know, an aesthetics for sure, but I never could really understand what the aesthetics were. So I found a coach who had competed herself and had taken others to the stage successfully. And I asked her if this was feasible to do. And she said, well, it is, it'll be a reach. And I said, would you take me on? And she said, sure. So in about a 15-week program, I was on stage at the IFBB, which is the International Federation of Bodybuilding in Australia, one of the two federations or so. And there I was in my coconut oil, fake tan, three layers, with in a bedazzled pink blue bikini that and you know, strutting around in 5.5-inch heels that I could barely maneuver myself in. So, you know, I couldn't see the audience, I couldn't see the stage, I couldn't see the judges rather. All I was trying to do was not fall over. And it was one of the most outrageous, enjoyable, euphoric experiences of my life. I mean, I experienced camaraderie in a way with other women. I competed next to a 60-year-old woman who towered above me and just had the grace and muscle structure of like an Adonis, you know. And and I spoke to people from all different walks of life who were there for all sorts of different reasons. It was a blast. It was an absolute blast.
Amazing. I'm so inspired by this story. And so for some people, bodybuilding is their life, right? But for the majority of us, this is a very like out there thing. So, and for you, would I put you in that category that this is something that you would not do in your everyday life? You were not around bodybuilders.
No.
Yeah.
No. So, you know, definitely not.
And had you done things like this, maybe not bodybuilding, but had you done things like this in the past, or was this one of those moments that you were just, there was something that went off on you that was like, I just need to do something a little bit wild?
It was very much, you know, I knew my family wouldn't really approve. I knew that this was not their cup of tea. I knew it was going to be hard work. I knew it was going to be an adjustment for my family. I knew it was going to be maybe confrontational to my husband. Look, I did it despite all the reasons, right? And this is what I feel about goal setting, is that sometimes we're very safe in our goals. We're very practical. They make a lot of, you know, rational sense. But in fact, I don't believe that those are the goals that really motivate us. The goals that really motivate us have to speak to us on a really personal level. And whether that means you're going to shake up your life, whether it means you're going to look at the world differently. And because of that, the people around you, you know, they'll adjust, they'll adapt, they'll change in ways you didn't really know about. And I mean, you know, a lot of people go into bodybuilding and they get really hooked. I'm not one of those people. Like, I will continue to lift weights for my entire life for my longevity and bone health. But, you know, the stage doesn't call to me, and, you know, but it could have. Who knows? I think that this was just one of those times that it was like, you know what? Playing by the rules hasn't served me. So let's not do that anymore.
So this pivotal moment in deciding to shake things up, and what we now term as to truly amaze the F out of yourself, were there other things that were on the list, or did this thing just stand out because it scared you the most?
It absolutely stood out because it scared me the most, because I honestly did not think that I had the discipline to stick to the meal plan, to count my macros. And I would never, ever, ever have done it without the support of my coach, Kat, because she made me accountable at every turn. She had a methodology that she just kept applying. I didn't need to ever know what was happening more than a day in advance. If I did, and I was afraid of how to maneuver it, it was, you know, say it was an outing or a dinner, she would coach me through that. I leaned on her 110% because I trusted that she knew how to do what I didn't. You know, and this is why I'm so passionate about, for everyone who doesn't at FUI, it's critical that you get the right coach for the right goal. You know, you would never get an accountant as your coach in a bodybuilding competition, nor would I get Kat to be my coach if I had a financial or business goal that I wanted to hit. You have to get somebody, you're leveraging that external expertise to fill the gaps of what you don't know. And, you know, to have someone you know you can lean on that's done it before, it just takes away all the angst, all the concern.
For something that is already scaring the heck out of you.
Right. Yeah. You wouldn't jump out of a plane in a tandem, you know, skydiving with someone who's only done it their second time. You go with an expert. You know, that you're trusting them with your dreams, your hopes, your aspirations. And we all know what it feels like to be, you know, disappointed, to not reach our goals, to have that self-disappointment, right? She made it possible for me. She held on to my confidence until I was able to be confident enough for myself. She was the holder of my dream.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And this, like, little did you know at the time that this was going to start a whole approach framework that you've created. So you've now written the book, Amaze the F Out of Yourself, which is At FUI for short. What prompted the book? And at what point did you think, oh, there's something in this? Like, there's a methodology in this way of doing something amazing. I've got the steps for it. Like,
yeah. And that was the weirdest thing. Like, all I set out to do was do a bikini comp. I didn't even want to win. I knew I wouldn't win. I walked away with medals, and I could not even believe it. I was, you know, I would show people the photos like weeks and weeks later, just jump up and down like a crazy child, because I was so excited that I'd done this ridiculous thing. And, you know, I come from background of writing. I have a degree in creative writing, but I've never really done anything with it. I've done a little bit, but I have written a lot of speeches, a lot of articles, and I write a lot for work. And I thought, oh, I could write a book about this. And I thought, well, I don't really want to write a book just about a bikini cup. That's kind of weird and self-indulgent. But actually, the reason I was able to succeed at this, when I have a very long history of quitting things that I've started. I joke in the book that I have a very high IQ, which is I quit, you know, if things get hard or, you know, or uncomfortable, or, you know, I have a very long history of walking away from uncomfortable situations. And, you know, this was uncomfortable at times. It was, it stretched me. And so I started to think, well, why was I successful this time? And when I really, really pulled it apart, and I, you know, look, I did so with the help of a very talented editor and lead and a lot of really good people. So once again, I just threw myself into it. I said, okay, well, let's apply the same techniques and methodology as the Bikini Comp and see if we can do it in a book. So I found a great editor. She's a copywriter by trade. She resonated with the idea. She'd never done a project like this in her life, but she said, you know, I think I can really coach you. We looked at the word count. We looked at, you know, what you had to know to self-publish, how long the book had to be. We knew it was attainable from a word count perspective. I knew I could get up every morning and write. And so we time boxed it and we linked it to an event. And 15 and a half weeks later, we had a book. I mean, it was just, I went, this is nuts. I cannot believe that in 6 months I've competed in a bodybuilding comp and written and published a book, right? I was like, what is that? Mm. I've been more productive in the last 6 months than in my 52 years prior. So that's what really made me think I'm onto something here. Mm. And that's why I'm so excited to share it with other people and have them test the theory and have them apply the FOE approach and tell me where it does and doesn't work. You know, let's test it out.
Mm. Love it. So tell us about the Atfui approach or framework. You were talking briefly about linking this to the SMART kind of traditional methodology, but are you able to just really step out? What is the Atfui approach?
It really is just three steps. So it really is, you do want to get that goal, but you want to set that goal, and it does need to be a SMART goal as much as possible, but you know, we can contain in that, you know, feelings and how you're going to feel at the end of it. But you want to work on and commit to that goal with your CMA. You don't want to do that on your own. I'm working with a woman at the moment on an Atfui actually, and we've constructed her goal together. And we did it in one sitting, and then I kind of went back to her. I'm like, you know, that's not quite right. Let's tighten that up a little bit. So we've done that. So you really need to do it with a CMA that has the knowledge and ability and expertise in your goal. So Kat is perfect. She runs a personal gym. She's a bodybuilder herself. She's competed. So she was the perfect person to get me to the stage in the Bikini Comp. My editor, Leanne, is a copywriter by trade. She writes copy. That's what she does. She is a marketing expert. So she was the perfect coach for me with the book. So you've got to link your goal and develop your goal with your CMA. And then next, you really need to link your goal to an external event that you can't get out of. You don't have to know what that event is right at the beginning. Like, I didn't even register for the Bikini Comp until we were halfway through the training, because we didn't want to lose the money if something would happen or whatever. I didn't even find the linked event for the book, which was the Cannes International Writers Festival, I think it was, until I was halfway through, and I had no idea how I was going to get in. So then I just volunteered and I did a little bit of guerrilla marketing when I was there. You know, they didn't know I just published a book. They didn't need to know. But meanwhile, I was hobnobbing with authors and, you know, the ex-mayor of Cannes. It was like perfect. So, you know, you can find your goal as you go, but the event acts as that FOMO that you're, you know, kind of capitalizing on, but also it can act as a reward, right? I did this amazing thing. Here's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And then you really want to time box it. So there's a part in the book where I talk about at my family home, my mom used to be a sign writer, and she had this great sign above the basement doors that said, "Why is there never enough time to do it right, but always enough time to do it over?" And I do think this was kind of directed at my stepfather, who, you know, would often start projects and never finish them, a little bit like myself. But what I now know is that this sign was actually a paraphrasing of Parkinson's Law, which highlights that work expands to fill the time available for its completion.
Yes.
Whereas I think actually the inverse of Parkinson's law is something called time boxing. And this is very much a part of agile software development methodology. There's a great article on Clockify about this, but essentially if you give yourself a year to reach a goal, it'll take you a year.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give yourself 14 to 16 weeks, it'll take 14 to 16 weeks. Now I'm realistic enough to understand you can't meet every goal in 14 to 16 weeks, but I know what you can do, which is you can make a start.
Mm.
And so this is incredibly powerful information because it allows us to do more in less time. Anyone who's ever taken an exam or, you know, was about to study for exam and is procrastinating knows that they will cram everything they need to know into that last 24 hours, right? So we're cramming a year's worth of something or a goal into 14 to 16 weeks.
Mm. Takes away that perfectionism too, right? Like give it a year, it will take a year and you'll have multiple iterations and then you'll still feel like it's not good enough, where if you just get it done and get it out before you can think and analyze it.
Yeah. Perfect. And this is really what we're trying to do, is get into that idea of iteration and continual improvement, which is we do not want to let perfection be the enemy or corrode your progress, because that's really all we want, progress.
Mm.
We don't need perfection.
Yeah, absolutely. And we used a similar, it was a shorter time frame, but just to recently launch Aesthetic Ally, which is the website builder for do-it-yourself website builder for aesthetic and beauty industries. And I said,
I love that.
I'm going to launch it in 30 days.
and you did.
And we did.
Right.
And you coming from software, like speaking to the team, they were like, oh boy. but we launched it and we've launched it and we'll continue to iterate it. But the point is that we've launched it. This has been something I've been sitting on for 4 years. And I picked up your book for the second time, you know, started, got halfway through again. And I was like, I just need to at-fill-y it. And so that was the process, and it's amazing what you can get done if you give yourself a time frame and give yourself a shorter time frame than maybe sometimes you think you need as well.
Absolutely, and it creates incredible momentum. And I mean, you mentioned the team, right? So you created this crazy vision, you know, the visionary of the company, and they went, "Whoa, that's a bit much," and you went, "Uh-huh." And you know what? They ran for it. Isn't that, I find that fascinating. And this is when you talk about the aesthetics industry in these small teams and you know, you talk about how to get the crew on board with that vision. Well, the first thing is you have to have it. And the second thing is you have to bring them on the journey and challenge them. And I tell you what, teams, they synergize when that happens. I've felt it in, you know, small business with my family. I've felt it in hospitality. You know, when people who work in kitchens, they can feel that teams gel when they are all running hard at the same goal.
It's really powerful.
Hugely powerful.
Yeah. So up until now, we haven't really talked about aesthetics or beauty at all. And obviously we are on the Derm Health Co podcast. So it was always going to come back here, but we needed to do some groundwork because it's a big topic. And just from being in the industry since 2012, I know that lots of people don't really goal set with teams because it's all about doing the work, which is treating clients' skin, doing a treatment, setting up treatment rooms. But then that actual goal setting with a team and achieving things as a team isn't something that really comes up in the industry, which is why I thought it would be so great you having your industry background and being a woman and then achieving these other goals. And at FUI can be applied to anything, whether it be a business goal or a personal goal, et cetera. But let's bring this back to how this can be used for examples for business owners, for them to achieve amazing results.
Yes, I think this is a really good one. So I've been thinking a lot about this. The thing about small business, and my husband and I have a small business. He runs it, but, you know, we have it, and so we talk business all the time. One of the things about small business is that it can be incredibly isolating, right? Especially for sole traders, even if they have small teams or larger teams, it can be very isolating. And there's always going to be knowledge gaps when you're working on your own too, right? You don't You don't have the hallway corridor chats. And so when you work alone or in the small teams, you don't always know where you need to go for this information or to fill these knowledge gaps. And that can be frustrating, and that can create this kind of decision paralysis and stagnation, which of course affects your confidence, and so it can really snowball. And that's where I really think the APUI approach is so, so valuable for small business, because that CMA, that coach, mentor, accountability partner, is on the outside looking in. And as you know, when your friend tells you their problems, you go, oh, you just need to do X, Y, and Z. It's so easy to see the solutions when you're standing on the outside. So that CMA gives you that. But the other thing is what we were just talking about that shared vision. You know, this is where culture it is cultivated, is in shared vision and in authenticity and in vulnerability. And that's what I really do think at APUI's challenge everyone who undertakes them to do, to, because you have to be vulnerable when you're being authentic about what your goal is. And I think anyone in the aesthetics industry can build that with their team. They can build that with their customers, really take them on that human journey with them. That builds camaraderie. It builds teams that synergize, that work well together. And that in turn can positively and will positively impact your bottom line and your business.
Yeah. So true. So where do you see that businesses, as like, I know that an APUI can be used for anything, but like, what are some ideas? Like people might be like, well, what can I actually do? Like,
yeah. What can I actually do? It's a great, so I'm working with a woman at the moment. She's not in the aesthetics industry, but she is looking to become a voice and a leader, for people that need to self-represent in the legal domain. And so what that means for her is that she's building out the social media channels that she needs to build a presence on. She's building out content, and she's building out how to become an influencer. So we're working together to set that out in a SMART goal, link it to an event, and just build those pillars of content, build that sphere of influence. And, you know, she's putting forward numbers like she's going to contact X individuals in the legal industry who are going to create content collaboratively with her. And, you know, she's has this number that she's just picked out of thin air, but that's something you could do. So in the aesthetics industry, you know, it occurs to me that it could be similar. You could become a leader and a, you know, in that specific treatment that you offer, or it doesn't always have to be a business KPI. You know, it could be how is your team culture. You know, what is it that you, maybe you want a five star rating from all your customers. Maybe it's retention. Maybe it's customer retention or referrals. Maybe you want to build your referral program in 14 to 16 weeks by 20%. I mean, that's huge. So yeah, I think that any one of those goals, you know, maybe it's a small business award, right? There's your linked event right away. You go, look, I want to place in the aesthetics industry in a local small business. I want to get, you know, I want to win, or I want to place something that is a stretch, but is potentially realistic and obtainable.
And there's plenty of different awards. There's end of financial year goals, like let's get our stock take done. Like if everything is done on paper, let's get it all digitalized. So
perfect.
Where an APUI can be done, it's not like you do it once and then, okay, that's it. See you later. We've done our bikini competition. It's something that once you've finished, you could sit down as a team, as a business owner, and say, what's our next step for we? What's our next thing for 14, 16 weeks? And we're laser focused on that.
Yes, absolutely. So, and if you think about it too, and that cyclical idea, which is, you know, you do want to, for we say, you say, this year we're going to get our business systems, we're going to digitize them, right? And at the end, we're going to go on a company cruise, and we're all, you know, going for that. We're not going to have any more paper folders. And you get there and you go for it, and you have a coach, maybe it's, you know, digital health code to help you get to that goal with the products that they have. And then you get to it, you're on your cruise, everyone's on a high, you reconvene in a week or so and you go, okay, what's next? And, you know, what is it that you can do collectively and individually to amaze the F out of yourself, to amaze the F out of your clients? You know, what is it people are going to say, that was such an amazing experience. Mm. Let's do it again.
Yeah. Create amazing case studies and track your case studies.
Yeah.
Like there are so many things that it can be applied to. And I think these things might be things that people are already working towards, but maybe doing it like half-assed, maybe unintentionally, like they're trying their best efforts, but it's busy, right?
Right.
We're tracking it down of we're just going to focus on this particular element as well as, you know, our day-to-day where we can make a real impact.
Yes. And so maybe for example, if it's to get every customer to leave a positive review and your leaders are focused for 12 weeks. So every customer you have an interaction with, you ask them at the end of the treatment whether they'd be willing to leave a review. If they don't leave one in a few weeks, you give a call back and say, we're offering a prize for whatever it is. Like it just, it focuses everybody on that single thing. Mm. And I think there's no real substitute for focus.
Mm, yeah. So Let's get into like how to track a goal. And it obviously will very much depend on what the goal is, but what's your favorite ways to track a goal, to make something measurable and trackable?
Well, it's interesting. So this is really the domain of your CMA, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the role that they hold the vision for you. They hold the dream for you. And so I would lean on them heavily to track it for you or to help you know how to track it. Maybe it's just, you know, for it could be a spreadsheet, it could be just a shared document, but you always, of course, with a SMART goal have to know where you're starting. So you have to know how many customer reviews you have, you have to know, you know, what your turnover is each month or whatever that is in order to know where you're going. So you always start with where you are. On the website, actually the appfully.com website, there's a free workbook which you can download for free. Anybody can download it, and it actually walks you through how to write your goal and your starting stats so you know where you're starting, because then of course you can figure out where you've ended up. And let's just remind ourselves that the goal is not perfection, right? Even if we fall short of that goal, we've still gotten part of the way there. We've still iterated, we've still made progress. And that is really the goal overall, is not to measure ourselves against the hard, you know, idea in the future, but the distance that we've come, the distance that we've traveled, and who we've become on that journey. So that is really looking at what we've gained from the experience, not the gap of what's missing.
Mm, yeah, really good. Important to not just always kind of be hanging on yourself, right?
Which is, by the way, not my concept. It's a great American coach. There's a book called The Gain and the Gap, which is highly recommended for any small business person.
Okay, good. So this comes to my next question about that mindset and personal development. What does this have to do with achievement of a goal? Because we spoke at the very beginning, sometimes our goals aren't really aligned with us. They're aligned with what we think we should be doing. So where does this piece play?
I think that the mindset and personal development will come. I think at first we won't have the right mindset. Potentially we won't know what we have to know, and we might even be resistant, and I think that's okay. I think we have to be willing to be led. I mean, the CMA will be a good person to help us with that, right? So for example, if I, during the Bikini Cup, if I said, look, we've got a social dinner, you know, they're great friends, we always close out the restaurant, you know, but I want to stay on track, what do I do, right? So here's my problem. And the CMA is like, well, here's what you can do about it. You can have your protein before you go so that you're not overly hungry. You know, make sure that you don't overload on carbs. Like, she gives me strategies for that. So that's personal development. I didn't think of it, but I'm learning it. And then every time I do those little things, I get the mindset that I can change and that I can evolve. So I feel like, you know, you also asked this question around discipline versus dedication. And I actually think they're different sides of the same thing. I think that they both form each other. And I think that personal development and mindset will come about as a result of undertaking an APFUI. I don't think you could do it and not develop personally, not mm-hmm. develop a mindset that you are capable of change. So I guess my answer to that is you don't have to have it to start. It'll come.
Yeah. Yeah, building confidence, just like any other thing that we've ever learned, whether that be crawling right. or walking or building blocks, it's like yes. initially it was one step. And as you build that confidence, you realize that you can do more and you can do it faster and you can do it yes. better. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
I just love this field. So one question that we kind of didn't cover, but it has kept coming up in my mind, the CMA. Are you talking about like a traditional coach? In the book, you kind of explain a little bit how to find these people, but would you expect that you're always going to pay a CMA? Like, do you have to go and say there's this formal at FUI that I'm doing, it's 14, 16 weeks, blah, 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 blah. Like, how do you find a CMA?
No, that's a great question. So I'm not sure yet. I'm still experimenting with this myself. So look, one disclaimer, I would never, ever, ever encourage someone to take on an at FUI that they couldn't afford financially, that they can't do physically, that they don't have the time to do, that creates more stress than new stress in their life, right? We have to have the time, resources, fundamental ability to undertake these things. The idea is not to put us in any kind of deficit or stress or, undue hardship. We want to have everything we need to undertake these. Having said that, you know, I paid my bodybuilding coach. She wasn't overly expensive. She was worth every cent, but it was a financial commitment that I, you know, I did the budget. My editor was equally as, you know, she was expensive, but she, again, was absolutely worth it. That FUI I'm doing at the moment, my coach doesn't even actually know she's my coach, but she knows about the book. She knows about the approach. She thinks it's fantastic. She's an expert in her field. But what I am doing is leveraging off her classes. So I go to 2 or 3 classes a week and I'm learning from her. And I've asked her to help me with the linked event and the choreography. And so I'm paying her for those classes, but she's not the traditional coach, right? She hasn't signed on for, you know, weekly 25 minute catches up or whatever that is.
I'm so intrigued.
Yeah, I know. This one's the big reveal. This one's still cooking. And it's another shocker. But she's good and she gets it and she's supportive. So I'm experimenting with what that means. So one of the women that in the book, Cindy Hajisek, she actually has a master's degree in coaching from the University of Sydney, I believe it is. And she writes a section about the different kinds of coaches. A lot of times you can find someone who's willing to mentor, right? Who's been in an industry for decades and just wants to give back. You can find volunteers, you can find volunteer resources, you know, ask people in your network. Do you know anybody that is good at X? Mm. People love to help. People love to see other people succeed and do wild and crazy stuff, right? So most of the time people are going to go, oh yeah, actually I know such and such. That's all they talk about. Mm. And you go, great. Can you introduce me? Sure. And then you just see where it goes.
Mm. Yeah. My mind's just ticking because I'm thinking that I won't speak my mind because it's, okay. Love it. So Jen, for people that are listening that are like, oh, but I can't do a bikini competition, but they want to do something. Maybe it's like this deep thing that just keeps niggling at them. Mm-hmm. What action can people take today?
Today they can go to atfui.com and download the workbook. It's free.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can download it, print it out, put it on your computer, share it with whoever you want. If you want to take it a little further, I'd suggest reading the book. And if you really want to kind of nut into what that looks like and you want to have a conversation, you can book some time with me to just have a chat, right? I'm not a coach. I'm not a certified coach, but I do have a lot of business experience and I am developing this methodology. The book is part of an intended series. So I am really looking for individuals to test the theory and the hypothesis and write their stories and share their stories. I I would love to share their stories with the world. So yeah, always open to have a conversation.
Love it. Thank you so much, Jen. Just finally, so where can people find more about you and what you're doing? It's the website.
Yes. So I believe the website about me is jenniferhhill.com, mm-hmm. Which is also linked to the atkawi.com website as well.
Amazing. Well, thanks so much, Jen. I can't wait to find out what this newest atkawi is. I'm on the edge of my seat. Something wild and amazing, it sounds. So thank you so much for your time, sharing your methodology. And I hope those listeners might be inspired to take some action, because every time I think about this book and what Jen has created, it really makes me quite excited, as Jen knows.
Thank you, Marnie. This has been so fun.
Well, that wraps up another episode. Thank you so much for joining us this week. It was wonderful to have you here again. We will be launching another podcast episode next week, so be sure to tune in. And although it's lovely to listen and learn from podcasts, and I know it's easy just to consume and learn and learn and learn, but at one point, the integration and adding what you have learned into your life is really important too. So if you've got some takeaways from this episode, I would love for you to share them with us and perhaps others on social media, because you never know, it might help their business or their professional and personal development grow as well. So make sure you tag any key takeaways from this episode at dermhealth.co and digitalhealth.co. I'll see you again next week. Bye.